but it is sure doing me good coming here on Thursday nights, amen. I need all the church I can get, folks. I don't know, just hearing those hymns, you know, singing them hymns, I'll tell you, it's a real blessing to me. And so I'm encouraged, amen. Like I said, I don't know about you poor folks. Got to listen to me. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I want to give you some things tonight about some rewards, okay, as we're going to look in here. Now, you know the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon is the writer. He is the wisest man, you know, to walk the face of the earth aside, of course, from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one thing that you probably, I know if you know much of the Bible there and you read and there, that you can see from Solomon's life that's pretty sad as you're reading that thing. And that, of course, that is that all, with all the wisdom that he had, and with being the wisest man here, that he still embarked on a self-destructive path. And that just shows you, of course, you know, wise men, I'm going to say, they're not always right as far as morally or spiritually things are concerned. Amen. So by the time you get to the book of Ecclesiastes, all right, you know, you find that in Solomon's life, he is pretty well backslid. His wives has turned his heart away from the Lord. He's made altars and things to other gods and that thing. In the book, you find some things in there kind of a mixed bag, I guess you could say in there. You still find a lot of profound things in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a lot of things that, you know, some helps in there and stuff. But then, you know, you look at thing what he's saying here. He complains of the folly and much of the vanity of this life, and yet he pursues after the madness. He goes after the folly, which I'm gonna say would not even be right for anyone to follow. You know, if you're a Christian, you're a saved person, you wouldn't want to follow some of those things that he did. So I'm gonna tell you that for because of what follows here. We're gonna read starting verse 13. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun. I'm not too loud for you all, am I? Is that okay? All right. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now, there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Let's pray. Father, once again, Lord, we come to you and we just want to thank you. First of all, God, for being so good to us, being so gracious, Lord, and thank you for these folks being able to come out. You've given us the health. You've given us breath. And Lord, we ask you tonight to give us understanding. Pray that you might open our eyes and lighten us with your words. Father, we thank you for this book. And we thank you again for everything you've done for us and pray that you might bless, meet with us here, Father. We'll thank you for it and give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. All right. So here, you know, you find that he tells of this poor wise man. And, you know, we know he appreciates his wisdom. He commends his wisdom. Yet, you know, and I'm reading this thing, I kind of find maybe like I think of an undercurrent going on this thing with him as he's commending the wisdom and thing. He's saying, you know, well, this poor wise man, he delivered this city by his wisdom. But, you know, nobody even remembers him. Verse 15, right? He goes verse 16, yet he exalts. He goes on and exalts wisdom. He knows wisdom is better. And yet I kind of hear his disgust. As he's going on through here, he's saying, you know, this man gets the victory through his wisdom. And yet, you know, doggone it. I mean, nobody gives the guy a parade. Right. This guy, I mean, it's just vain. It's all vanity. And I think I kind of get the idea of this going through there. He desires some recognition for this guy, maybe some fame for this fellow. But what does he get? That poor wise man, he got nothing. Right? Even for being wise. Now, I'm just going to say this. This is good for you to read that. You need to hear something like that because you know what? I think that's a lot. That's the way a lot of people look at it. Okay? It's almost like if I can't see how this is going to prosper me, I'm not even sure if I'm going to mess with this at all. You know, it's just all vanity. It's vain. Now, folks, I want to notice a few things here, draw some parallels with this poor wise man in us. And like you in here, I'm sure some of these things are going to, you know, go right along with just like this man. Number one, I'm going to say, you know, he is a what you would call a nondescript man, right? I mean, you have no clue of his name. And you understand, folks, there's some people in the Bible, of course, that God, I believe, recognizes or regards as wise and right, and yet he just never gives their names out. No name, no claim, no fame. That's how it goes right here, you know. Many have got the idea that, and then in this thing here in Christianity, you know, your Christianity and your Bible somehow should equip you with something that's going to give you the spotlight, right? We got to have the spotlight in this thing. It's going to make you the top dog on some things. Many times we think that way, and I tell you that can be a kind of a dangerous way of thinking in that. There was a preacher one time whom I really thought a lot of, highly thought of this fellow. He's a preacher, man. I'll tell you, in touch with the Lord, I believe, man, he could preach. And he passed away, and I got to go to his funeral. And, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, this is going to be a great funeral. I mean, there's going to be, you know, hundreds of people getting saved and the altar and stuff, you know, it was going to just be because in remembrance of this guy. But I went to his funeral, and, you know, it was just an average funeral. You know, it was a good message and stuff. I didn't see, you know, anybody get right. I didn't see anybody get saved on the thing or anything like that. But yeah, you know, that kind of thing, sometimes we expect too much or think we're going to see some things out of that. There are folks, I'm sure, and you realize there are thousands of great Christians of whom, you know, we know nothing about. Maybe we haven't seen or heard, thought of, and we won't know anything about them. Maybe we get to the judgment seat of Christ. But God's will, you know, gets accomplished all the time by folks that we know nothing about, okay? And there's this poor wise man. He's a nondescript fella, you know? And probably, maybe that's some of, you know, just like most of us in our lives, just nondescript, going about doing our business. And you notice something else here with this. Notice that in verse 14, he has just a little charge. Just a little charge, okay? There was a little city and a few men within. Now, there's not much people in his city. It's just a little one. It's a little city. There's just a little, you know, it makes you think of just a little church. Not many people there, right? And I kind of think, you know, many times I just feel like this little fish in this big old pond going on here. And I tell you, here's Solomon. I believe he's griping about this poor wise man. He's nondescript. Doesn't get no name on that. And he has just a little charge. Now, I think, you know, I just look at myself most of that. Like, but I think it's like most of us, okay? I'm going to say this, you know, your charge. Some of you men, you know, you have an influence. You have a family, okay? You've got your wife, or you got your children. You got the place where you work. You know, you influence, there's people around there, or just average everyday places you go. Just a little charge. Maybe, you know, your wives, you know, your ladies there, you do housework, right? The dishes are unending. The laundry is continually, you know, day after day. You know, you're raising your kids. And, you know, I know on that kind of situation, in the meanwhile, the bills keep coming in, right? You still got to go to work. You still got to do what you got to take care of. And you keep plugging along. And you know, some people look at that thing and they say, well, how could you ever accomplish anything? I mean, you're just getting by, you know, hand to mouth. I mean, so how can you get anywhere? You know, you ladies, you probably should have went to college instead of just, you know, changing diapers. I mean, folks, I mean, that's the way a lot of people would look at it, right? I mean, they look that thing right there, and I'm going to say, you know, they'd say, well, if your Christianity can't deliver you more than that, what good is it, right? And that's their thinking. But can I tell you, the fact is, along those lines, we don't run that way, okay? I run more of the common, ordinary things of life. Now, we all have an influence, all right? It may be not that big of an influence. I don't think anybody here is going to be running for president, right? We got anybody going for governor? and a lion coming around there, have more of a sphere on something like, it's your family. It's your friends. It's people you run in, you know, around town or something like that, usually and stuff. So you're not going to get the parade, right? No notoriety on that kind of stuff, right? But that's not all something on this guy, I think, is along with us. Verse 14, notice there came a great king against it, right? It says he built these bulwarks against this city, all right? So you know what, Christian, you've got an enemy. Have you ever considered what's encamped around your city? Right? You got the God of this world, and you've got all the host that follows the devil and all those things. You also, you got to worry about yourself. Amen. That's probably the biggest problem right there. So I'll just say, you know, the world surrounds you and your family when you're trying to do right. Okay, you're trying to please the Lord. If you're trying to raise your kids, I'm sure you're trying to raise them better, to turn out better than you. And just to throw it in, you can't get that done without spanking them, right? I'll just kick that in there. Maybe you didn't get much of that. Folks don't hear much of that. You know, I know you do. You do, all right? So anyway, Solomon here, all right, he sees this guy, no fame, right? He ain't got, in all the stuff, he gripes the poor wise man goes unrewarded. I mean, what did he get out of having that wisdom? What did he get out of it, right? Nothing. No parade, no medal, not even a watch, you know, for delivering this city. Surely, I think he should have got a watch. You know, usually you work 30 years and you get a watch after you retire or something, right? Well, I want to say, folks, I just want to tell you this. I think Solomon's wrong here on this thing right here. So I want to give you some, just mention a few rewards. I believe this poor wise man got that Solomon didn't see and he didn't catch. He didn't get this thing. So maybe it'll be a help to you and a blessing to you. You have to keep on going. Because there is some rewards for you, right? If you're faithful and you just serve the Lord and you do what you can. First of all, verse 15, I'll just read that again. It says, now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. So I want to say, first of all, as you think of this thing, isn't the wisdom itself the reward? Wouldn't wisdom itself be a reward? Well, sure it is. I know on this thing, we know Solomon, he was the wisest man beside the Lord Jesus Christ. But like I said, by the time this time here, he's backslid. Again, he's built those altars for the other gods, for all his wives. And the high places were left hanging around, caused Israel to stumble and get, you know, messed up in that. Take your Bibles and look at 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. I'm going to say something here. Solomon forgot something. Okay. He forgot what brought him where he was. And going down through here, he knew at one time, folks. He knew what got him where he was, but I think he forgot this thing. I mean, and sometimes you forget what's really important and what got you where you are, and because as time goes on, sometimes certain things will creep in there, and they can cause you to forget what's really important and what's needed. Now, notice this thing here in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because thou this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee have the like. Folks, as you read there, you found, you know, he asked the Lord for wisdom and knowledge. And you say at this point right here, at the height of his reign here, God... God just looked down there and said, okay, Solomon, I'm going to give you a blank check. You write it, you just fill it in, and what do you want? And he said, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Now, folks, here it is years later in Solomon's life, right? And he's got a bunch of things, I believe, that is in his life that's casting shadows over his mind on some things. And he forgot, folks, that it was the wisdom that was the reward. It was the wisdom that was the reward. So back here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 14 and 15, it reads that you got this poor wise man. And it says there, by his wisdom, he delivered the city. Now, did you ever maybe think, what is that? How did he, folks, how do you deliver a city from a mighty enemy that's encroached about you by wisdom? I mean, did he think up or engineer some kind of great, weapon, on the walls or something like that to fight these enemies and getting that thing? I don't know for sure. I think he probably managed to reason with the king, either by proxy or getting there talking with himself, or something like that. But it says he delivered the city from them with his wisdom. Solomon forgot, honestly, this, that wisdom was the reward. Now, and I say that ought to alert you to the fact, folks, if you don't think maybe you're getting what you deserve by serving the Lord, maybe you're not, the Lord's not rewarded you, what you should get to that thing right there. Hey, remember that the reward of the Christian life is the Christian life, isn't it? I mean, I think that's the thing. You see, this poor wise man's wisdom is his reward. He still had his wisdom after this. He could maybe use that wisdom again if somebody else came back in, threatened the city or something like that. He didn't lose that wisdom. And yet, you find some people say, well, if your wisdom, if this wisdom doesn't make me rich or exalt me, what good is it? Well, I'm going to say this, the wisdom is the riches. That's what good it is. It's good. Amen. The Christian life is the reward. And I know this, and you think, well, it's going to get me something else. Right? Yeah, it's going to get you heaven, and you get up there and you live for the Lord and you please him. It's going to get you some rewards up there. But I'm talking here about this life right now down here, folks. I really don't expect to see with my eyes right now, a bunch of rewards on that. Or something, real special just for being a Christian. You get that idea sometimes? Hey, it's not that the Lord owes you and I somehow for joining his side. Did you ever just think, hey, joining his side is the reward? Amen. That's something right there, folks. I mean, you know what it is? It's a privilege to be saved, right? Can I tell you, it's a privilege to be living in the last days? You say, preacher, man, this world's a mess. I got this messed up and this is going on and I hate this stuff right there. Folks, it's a privilege to be living where we are right now. It's a privilege to rely on the grace of God. Okay? I mean, the grace of God is for you to be able to get through a thing that you wouldn't normally be able to get through without it. Now, isn't that a privilege? Just to have the grace of God on that thing? I tell you, he told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Right? So if you're saved, I got news for you. You're going to suffer. You're going to go through some things, and the reason part, maybe one of that things is there, is because the Lord wants to just give you grace so you can get through it, right? And say that, Lord, thank you. It's you. It's you giving me that. The grace is the reward. You think about the joy of the Christian life. The joy of the Christian life is the reward. Amen? The Christian life is the reward. So you think about that on these things, and Solomon, he's here, folks. He's here. He's just looking at this, at the reward that should follow. He's thinking, man, he should have had that. I mean, that's where you get the Rolex watch, and you get the parade and all those kind of, you get the fame, because, you've got so much wisdom. You deserve, to be rewarded and you deserve to get paid for that. No, folks, the wisdom is the pay. And I can go, you think about this stuff further and as you're thinking about maybe, well, what do I get from the Bible when I read it? Well, how about the fact that you just get to read it? Amen. You ever think about this book right here? Just the fact that you are reading God's words that comes from Him, right? From the pen of God right there. That should be a privilege in itself. I mean, really, folks, God delivered this, all the things that went through this, getting this book together for us, right? And all the people that shed their blood and suffered for that and getting those pages here. And man, we get to read. The Bible is the reward, man. Just getting to read the book there. So here's this poor rich man. And his reward is the wisdom. Now, secondly, again, here in verses 14 and 15, you see Solomon, he's thinking that the wisdom should get you something more right now. It should get you some gain, some recognition, you know, the medal, the trophy. All right. Well, OK, then let's you look at this thing. Don't forget about the city. Don't forget about the city. Wouldn't the city that he delivered be a reward? Right. You know, Solomon didn't think about that because I think this, you know, Solomon thought that poor wise man, here he is, he's getting jilted, right? I mean, it's just a little city. No one gave you a thing for it. You even got forgotten for delivering this city. What is that? I mean, Solomon, you realize something though, folks, on this thing? Solomon, he didn't live in that little city. All right? He didn't think about that city. He grew up in the palace. Solomon was the one with the silver spoon in his mouth. He never slept in the field, not recorded in there, with the sheep like his daddy did. Every meal he had was fit for a king. He didn't have part of this small city. He was raised in Jerusalem. But when you look at this poor wise man, this is where he lived, all right? This is where his family was. He probably had his grandparents, you know, walking around on the streets with the cane, you know, getting around, mom and dad and the kids. You imagine the city that is around there. His family was probably all around in there. And Solomon here, he's moaning, you know what, you delivered that city and what did you get? Well, it gets you the city, right? And where your loved ones are still there. Amen. And, you know, you didn't get the watch. Maybe you didn't get to watch, but the city is safe, right? It's not being destroyed. Your loved one's still there. Listen, folks, have you ever had a part in leading someone to the Lord? Isn't that a reward right there, right? I mean, someone gets saved, they're not going to hell. Folks, that's a good thing. And I think even more personally, I got thinking about this thing. Where it started with me and my family was my grandmother. Now, and I don't know how far back it went with her, but she was saved. And I remember, man, my parents weren't saved. All right, so but I would go over to my grandmother and spend the night with her and stuff, and she'd talk about the Lord, right? And I remember specifically one night it was thundering. All right, it was a real bad thunderstorm. We're in there, and you know, of course, they unplug the TV and they do all that kind of stuff. And she says, shh, listen, listen, the Lord's speaking. He can come back, you know, and I'm thinking, man, I was just little. I'm thinking, I believed it. My grandma's saying, you know, Lord, come back. And he's speaking, listening to that thing. Well, it was my grandmother who told me about the Lord. And folks, it was her church where I went to, where I heard the gospel and I got saved. All right. And then after I got saved, see, I'm thinking, you know, here's my mom and my stepdad. They come to church. They get saved. And my sister then gets saved. And then my dad, you know, he comes, Brother Hicks, when Brother Hicks was pastor in there, he came down and he got saved. I'll tell you, folks, that is a reward, man. What a blessing on something like that. Let me ask you this. Maybe did you help encourage someone last week? Maybe a month ago, you encouraged anybody. Can I tell you that's a reward? That's something good there. Are your kids saved? Is your wife saved? Is your husband saved? Right? Maybe some family got saved there. Maybe you've been praying for folks, right? And some of them got saved there, witnessing to them. I mean, aren't you better off than you were 10 years ago? I mean, amen. I mean, have you grown some? You think about that thing. Doesn't that count for something? I mean, the city you delivered, doesn't that count? I mean, where's Solomon? Solomon says here, you know what? You got nothing from it, you poor old wise man. And he's looking around that city. And, you know, I believe that poor old man is looking around the same city. And he says, man, I got something from it. Right? I sure did. I got plenty from that thing. Let me ask you. Have you helped deliver somebody? You know, do you get fed coming to church here? You know, I mean, do you encourage other folks to come to church? You say, well, preacher, I never got a dime for doing anything like that. Well, listen, you ain't supposed to get a dime for doing something like that. You're supposed to be satisfied from just having the privilege of being able to witness for Jesus Christ and love Him and live. I tell you, folks, being a Christian is the honor. Amen. And that thing, I mean, having the wisdom is the reward, and having a city is the reward, isn't it? I'll tell you, that's some great things. And then third, I want to say this, along these lines, isn't it a reward just seeing maybe how God has used you in anything? And I look at myself and think, God, that's just amazing. God, that you can answer a prayer, that maybe you've used something I did or said something, you know, and you've used that thing, because I'm pretty, you know, way down there on stuff. I mean, folks, this poor wise man delivered the city from war. All right. They were being besieged. They were putting bulwarks around this city, and it'd probably not be very long till they wouldn't even be able to have any water to come in there to drink. They wouldn't have any water to get cleaned up. And I mean, I'll tell you, after 2 days, no water cleaning up, this is going to be a bad time in this city. They're going to be eating their own mules. They're going to be eating their oxen that they need to plow and stuff like that. Folks, they wouldn't be able to get anything from outside and stuff. This poor wise man, folks, he went out, when you think this thing, and he must have had a diplomatic solution on this thing. I don't know why else a king would decide just to let them go, unless he went out there and said, listen, you know, hey, we're paying your taxes. Why don't you just let us go? And we're going to help you, and you help us on this thing, right? But anyway, he decided, you know, to let that thing go, and he delivered his city with whatever wisdom it was he had. So this poor man saw, can I tell you, just that thing right there. You know what he saw? He saw God use him. Now, that counts for something, folks. It counts for something, okay? When the day comes, maybe, you know, you start to see your kids do right and love Jesus. Doesn't that count for something? Yeah, it'll count, right? Amen? I mean, do you really need a parade? Do you have that? And you realize that God can take you and He can get glory from you, and you know, He can fulfill His word in you. Many times I think of 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things to confound the mighty, the base things and the things that are despised. Yea, hath God chosen to bring to naught the things that are. You know, so even if you know you're not anything, you know, much on that kind right there, you know, God can still use you. You and I, you don't need 60 minutes, do you, to come in here and lift you up, to tape your life, and, you know, anything like that. It's enough reward, folks, isn't it? Doing what God wants you to do, and those kind of things. There's something more to the Christian life than the modern Christianity builds it up to be on that kind of thing. And you getting the advantage and you just being lifted up. Folks, that's not what it's about. He that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. See, it's not about us being exalted or lifted up, you know, all the time on that. I mean, how about just God using you? I mean, being satisfied, we have done what we could. Look over in Mark chapter 14. All right, Mark 14. So, and while you're turning there, you know, of course, Solomon's griping this poor wise man delivered the city, but he didn't get a reward. You know, oh, how terrible. You know, it's horrible there. Well, I want to say this, Solomon. You know what? You got off track a long time ago, right? All those wives turned your heart and all that stuff. And you got along, you know, messed up with the idols and things. Folks, Christianity is the reward. And here it says in Mark 14:8, you know, it talks about this woman here. And it says, she hath done what she could. Now, how much would those words coming from the mouth of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, about you mean? Does it mean something to you? You know, you've done what you could. And, you know, Lord here, you know, they're getting on this lady here, and the Lord says, hey, you know what? I'm satisfied with what she did. Leave her alone. She had done what she could. And, you know, I sure hope everyone in here gets a whole lot of rewards, right? So Jesus Christ can be lifted up and exalted. You just do the best you can for him on that kind of stuff. And then, you know what you can have when we're down here with just that? You know, it's just what a peace of mind it is just saying, you know, I did what I could, Lord. I did what I could. You know, Proverbs 14 says, 10 says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. And I think of that, you know, I realize, you know, maybe nobody else is going to be satisfied with you. You think that sometimes, you know, maybe your wife, your husband, especially your wife, you know, her husband like that. But you know what? You're the one, folks, that's trying to please God. You're praying, right? Maybe it's you that spent nights awake and praying with tears in your eyes for your kids. You know, maybe they've gone astray or something like that. But here you are. You're in church, right? You're doing what you can, right? Folks, we are not perfect. None of us are. Jesus Christ is the only one, but, you know, he sure has blessed me a whole lot. And, you know, he's given me some things to do. Thank God for that. And who has a right, folks, to intermeddle with that joy? Nobody. Nobody, right? And many times it's just you and I, you know, praying, you know, Lord, help me to be able to handle this situation with some wisdom. Because I'll tell you, you know what? Sometimes that's all you can do when you boil the thing down on that, right? So then you do something like that, you can go home satisfied, you know, that you've done what you could. I think this wise man here, he did what he could, and he is walking away after doing something like this, knowing he did what he could, and he has a peace of mind, and he's satisfied. Boy, I did what I could, see? Now, I'm fixing to close here, so, I mean, what were you complaining about today? Hey, you're complaining about something. What more did you expect? Did you expect a parade? Maybe, you know, because you did something so great for the Lord. Well, I can tell you, you're probably not going to get it down here. This poor wise man, he didn't get a parade, right? He didn't get a trophy in the medal or anything like that. But I'll tell you, folks, there's more than just what folks think about that's going on. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We'll close here, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. This is Solomon, and Ecclesiastes 4:13. Notice what he wrote here on this thing here. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. You know, Solomon, he got off track there, folks, way off there, and thought this poor wise man got jilted. You know, his wisdom didn't advance him. And you know what Solomon's problem was, I think, on this? He thought he was so wise. Right, he thought he had it down. Nobody's going to be able to show him or tell him he was wrong. But I'm going to tell you, I believe this wise man, this poor wise man, he was rewarded. He got rewarded. Paul tells us there in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And though you may not see it, right? I mean, you may not see someone get saved every week, right? You may not lead someone to the Lord on that. Maybe you don't, build someone up every day or something like that. I mean, you ought to try and strive for that stuff. But folks, I'll tell you, the wisdom is the reward. And delivering the city was the reward. And seeing God use you somehow is the reward. And I believe, you know, he didn't get the parade. He didn't get all that stuff, but he got some things. Amen. He got some rewards. Amen. Hopefully that you will too, and I will too for the Lord. Amen. All right, that's it. Let's pray. Right. Father, tonight I sure appreciate your mercies, and thank you for the folks that came out here tonight. And I pray this was maybe a blessing to them and help. And many times help us to. Sometimes our thinking gets a little off on some things, God, and on ourselves. And I pray you just help us to get our eyes on you, and Lord, do the things we do. Because we love you, we want to please you and do the best we can. And Lord, just be satisfied with that and know that we're walking with you and pleasing you. And Lord, we know one day we'll be up there. And Father, you will. Our labor will not be in vain. And we'll thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, God bless you. Be dismissed.